Amen. Now we'll take our Bibles this evening. Let us turn to the prophecy of Ezekiel once again, chapter number 34. And we're going to read the Word of God from verse number 11. Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from the 11th verse of the chapter. Ezekiel chapter 34. Tonight finds us in verse 11. We've been making our way through this prophecy over the last year or just over it. And sometimes on the Lord's Day evening, we'll bring an evangelistic message, a gospel message from the book. And tonight we want to consider very simply the seeking shepherd that we read off here in Ezekiel 34, verse number 11. Let us hear the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and will feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. And will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures. And you have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. And we know that God will add his own blessing to this reading of his word to all of our hearts tonight for his own sake and for his own glory. We want to base our thoughts tonight around the words of verse number 12 of this portion of scripture. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. The seeking shepherd. Let us pray and ask God for his help and for his blessing. We trust tonight that God will encourage his people. Remind us that the Lord is still on the throne. He's still seeking out his sheep. He's still saving souls. And he'll still do it in these days and in this land in which we're living. And we trust tonight that if you're here and you're not yet saved, you're not yet a Christian, you're not part of the family, the fold and the flock of God, that even tonight you'll hear the call of the shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me, that you will follow the Lord from this night forward. Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight that the word of God is quick, it's living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank thee that thy word is like a fire and also like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. We thank thee that thy word is like unto good seed, seed that can never die and seed that will bring forth fruit as God sees fit. We thank thee tonight that the word of God is not bound. And O God, we pray that thou wilt send thy word into hearts and lives tonight. Make it, O God, to be as a nail in a sure place. And may the Son of God be exalted and uplifted and glorified as the word of God is free course and is glorified and sent home to hearts by the Spirit of God himself. Lord, I confess my need and my weakness and my inability. Father, just now I would give myself to Thee, body, soul and spirit. Fill this earth and vessel with the Holy Ghost. Anoint these lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross. But speak, O God, with the voice that wakes the dead. And make the people hear, we ask, in the Saviour's name. And for God's glory alone we pray. Amen. There's no doubt tonight in my mind that the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, has a plan and a purpose for the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. My reading of Scripture is that the Bible clearly teaches that God has a plan for the nation of Israel. In verse 13 of Ezekiel 34, God makes a promise concerning the lost sheep of the nation of Israel and says, I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country. Many times Ezekiel, God's servant, makes reference to a day whenever the people of Israel will be gathered again to their own land. Now there's a certain application in this portion of Scripture to the people of Israel in the days of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's day, the Israelites have been carried captive and they're in the nation, in the country of Babylon. But while this portion certainly has reference to the captives in Ezekiel's day, it cannot be limited to the people of Ezekiel's day exclusively, because in verse number 12, God says He will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the dark and cloudy day. But essentially, the people of Israel in this day have only been scattered and brought captive to Babylon. And yet God says in verse number 13, He will gather them out from the countries, plural, and will feed them in their own land. And several times in the book of Ezekiel, God's servant speaks about this day that is coming whenever the Israelites will be gathered again to their own land. For example, in chapter 11 of the prophecy, and verse number 17, the Lord God says, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Chapter 36, verse 24, God says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Chapter 37, verse 21, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Verse 24, David, my servant, and that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. Verse 26, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant. So God has a plan, and God has a purpose for the nation of Israel and for the land of Israel tonight. And I believe that the prophecy of Ezekiel is speaking literally. It speaks about Judah. It speaks about Israel. It speaks about Jerusalem. It speaks about them being gathered from all countries and from all places back into the land no more divided, and surely it speaks about national Israel. Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul speaks about the same thing. He speaks about the Israelites being gathered and grafted in to the family and fold of God once again, as does chapter 11. And we know tonight that the Jewish people were scattered out throughout the whole world. And contrary to everything that seemed to be against them, in 1948, the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, became a nation again. And in Ezekiel's day, the Jewish people were in captivity because of their sin. And in the generations that followed, even since the days of Christ, the Jewish people have been reaping the consequences of their rejection of their Messiah, the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because prior to his crucifixion, right before he went to the cross, the Jewish people, whenever they cried out, "Crucify," they said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And because of their rejection of their Messiah, they were scattered out into all the nations. But God promises to gather them again into one place and to make of them a great nation. And right across the world tonight, many Jewish people are returning to their home country, the nation of Israel. But all sinners, in a spiritual sense, are in bondage and in captivity and in a far country, far away from the flock of God because of their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever committeth sin shall be the servant of sin." And sadly, in the days in which Ezekiel lived, there were many false prophets, many false shepherds, and many false pastors. We considered that on Tuesday night past in our prayer meeting and Bible study. And so it is tonight in our day. There are many false shepherds, many false prophets, many false pastors. But to encourage the Israelites that are in bondage and in captivity down there in Babylon by the rivers, God speaks through his servant Ezekiel about a day that is coming, a day that is still future, whenever he will raise up a faithful shepherd, and this faithful shepherd will gather the flock together into one place and will seek out the lost and will restore them to their first love. And of course, that shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this portion of scripture that we've read together tonight, there's a wonderful gospel picture and a wonderful gospel application as we consider the seeking shepherd. I want you to notice, first of all, the identification of this shepherd. Who is this shepherd that the Word of God is speaking about? Look at verse number 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep." The Lord God says, as a shepherd, I will seek out my sheep. And these words, "I will," have a clear reference to the Lord God, to the Almighty, to Jehovah himself. And the Lord, of course, is the shepherd. That is who the shepherd is. It's the Lord. The psalmist David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, Jehovah, the Lord, is my shepherd. But more exclusively, more specifically in Scripture, that shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 11, we have those lovely words, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Many times, in fact, in the New Testament, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, or the great shepherd, or the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. So there's only one shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I am not a good shepherd, but I am the good shepherd." He is the shepherd. And so whenever David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," he was essentially speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever God says here, "I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep," because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is God. He is Almighty God. Yes, he's the Son of God, and he's God the Son. He's part of the Godhead. He's divine. Jesus Christ is the Lord God. And here the Lord God indicates that he has a flock. Many times in the passage we read about the Lord seeking out my sheep, gathering together his flock, seeking that which was lost. And the challenge tonight for you is this, very simply: are you part of the family and fold of God? Are you part of God's flock? Can you say tonight that the Lord sought me and the Lord found me and the Lord saved me and the Lord drew me to himself and the Lord called me and I have entered into the sheepfold by that one door and I am part of the family and fold of God? And truly I can honestly say, preacher, tonight that the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is my shepherd. You know, it's amazing whenever you go to virtually any funeral nowadays, it always seems that the 23rd Psalm is sung, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I can't help but think, whenever I go to a funeral and I maybe stand before the congregation or stand within the congregation, and that is sung and people are singing it, I often wonder how many people here today can honestly say that the Lord is my shepherd. Whenever you read the obituaries, it's just the same. Oftentimes written there at the bottom, "The Lord is my shepherd." Even in many tombstones today, "The Lord is my shepherd." And yet I wonder tonight, can you honestly and earnestly say that? Can you say tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for me? And he has called me and I have responded. I've heard his voice. I am following him. And I am part of the family and part of the fold of God. You see, there's only one shepherd. And there's only one door into the kingdom of God. The Lord said, "I am the door. He that entereth in shall go in and out and shall find pasture." But in John 10 verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And right across our world tonight, right across our town, as a matter of fact, there are many people who feel that they have their own way. "I've got my own church. I've got my own beliefs. I've got my own faith. I've got my own way." But the Word of God says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof for the ways of death." And it may be that you would say the same thing. You say, "Well, I've got my own little way. I've got my own beliefs. I believe certain things. I embrace certain things that you stand for. I believe certain things that the Bible teaches. And I'll go so far, and God knows my heart. God knows my sincerity. I haven't come to Christ yet. I'm not born again. But you know, I'm sincere." And yet the Lord says, if you don't come his way, you're trying to get in some other way. And the Word of God says that such is a thief and a robber. You need to be absolutely sure and certain tonight about this matter. That your soul is saved. And that the Lord is your shepherd. And that you are part of his family and part of his flock. So you have the good shepherd, the seeking shepherd, his identification. You'll notice secondly, his compassion. I can't help but read this portion of Scripture without coming to the conclusion that God has a deep concern, a deep love, a deep compassion for his people, a deep concern for his flock. God is concerned about the lost sheep. And if you're lost tonight, still outside of Christ, I believe with all my heart tonight that the Lord has a concern for you and a compassion for your heart and for your life and for your soul. If you look at verse number 6 of Ezekiel chapter 34, God says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And none did search or seek after them." And this is something that concerns the heart of Almighty God. Whenever he sees lost sheep, precious never dying souls, out in the world, far from God, far from God's people, far from God's kingdom. And he looks and he sees a world that doesn't care about them. And he maybe looks to those people that profess to be part of the flock, the false shepherds, and he sees that they have no concern about them. That is something that I believe deeply grieves the heart of God. Because God cares about lost souls. Never forget that. If you're lost tonight, never forget that there's a God in heaven that cares about lost sheep. There's a seeking shepherd that's looking for lost souls, that's searching them out right across the world, seeking for the souls of men, seeking after sinners. My Bible tells me in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36 that the Savior looked over the multitudes, and when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. He was moved within his soul. He was moved within his spirit. Something moved his heart as he looked at the multitudes, and he says that the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. And who was he looking at? He was looking at the people of Israel. He was looking at the Jewish people. He was looking at those that were Christ rejectors who didn't receive him. He came unto his own received him not. And yet all the while as he looked at them, he was moved with compassion. And then he turned around to his disciples and he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. Look at all these lost men and women. That's what he's saying to his followers, his disciples. He says, can you not see them? Can you not see that there are multitudes here and they're lost, they're scattered abroad? Some of them are fainting, they just can't go on any further in life. They have no shepherd, they have no guide, they have no counselor, they have no direction in life. And he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are so few. And then he said to his disciples, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Christ had a deep compassion for the lost sheep. And he expects his followers, his disciples, Christians, to replicate that concern. He's telling us here that a day is coming where there's going to be a great harvest. Many souls, if they're not reached and if they're not won, they're going to be lost. And he says to disciples, you need to pray about this. You need to ask God, the Lord, what will you have me to do to win these people, to reach them, to find them? And you need to pray as well that God will raise up other laborers, because God uses men to reach men. I wonder tonight, are we really praying? Christian, tonight in the meeting, I wonder, are we really concerned? Are we really laboring whenever we see a world, we see a town, we see a community, we see a district that is lost, that is undone, lives that are destroyed, men as women, real living human beings with real eternal souls, and they're lost tonight. I wonder, does it drive us to the closet to seek God's face in prayer and to say, Lord, how can I win them? Lord, what can I do? Lord, how can I reach them? God cares about lost souls. It was said of the Scottish preacher W.C. Burns, William Chalmers Burns, that whenever he was just a little boy, standing in the streets of the city that he lived in, I think it was the city of Edinburgh up there in the north of Scotland, standing in those cobbled streets, that as he took his mother's hand, she stopped and she heard him sobbing and she said, son, what's wrong? And he says, mother, can you not hear it? Mother, can you not hear what I hear? She says, what do you hear? He says, I hear the tramp of Christless feet on their way to hell. And that little boy was broken as he stood in the streets. John Hyde of India used to pray, Lord, give me souls or else I die. Same with John Knox up in Scotland. Give me Scotland or else I die. He would rather die than not see souls won for Jesus Christ. It was said of W.P. Nicholson that he once said, oh, that we would rather not even live than to live in this world and not see souls won for Jesus Christ. It was said of David Livingstone as he went into the heart of Africa, Lord, bring me into the interior or I perish. Erwin Lutzer, who was, I'm not sure if he still is, but he was the pastor of Moody Church in the city of Chicago in the United States. He wrote several good books about the Bible. Seven Reasons Why I Believe the Bible is the Word of God, or Seven Reasons Why We Can Trust the Bible is one of them. But he also wrote another book entitled Hitler's Cross. And in that book, Hitler's Cross, Erwin Lutzer relates a story that happened quite recently in the latter part of the 20th century about a Baptist church in America where there was a man that came along and spoke on the subject of abortion. And whenever he had finished his discourse and finished his message, the floor of the church was opened up for people to make question and to make comment. One old man stood up. He was of German descent, and he related a story that really didn't have anything to do with abortion, but felt that it had some connections. And he says, "You know, I grew up in Germany during the Second World War. I lived as a professing Christian." He says, "We used to worship during the Second World War in a little wooden church. And just behind our church, there were railway lines that just went across that part of Germany where we lived." And he says, "It seemed that every Lord's Day morning, we went into church, and about halfway through the service, as we were singing together, you could always time your watch by it that a train, it blew its whistle. And we could hear the rumble of the wheels as that train made its way down the track. And we could hear the screams of hundreds of Jewish men, women, boys and girls on the train. And they knew that they were being taken to the gas chambers." He says it caused us to weep. But he says as the weeks went by and the services went on, we would hear that slow train coming, blowing its whistle, the rumble of the wheels, and the screams of the Jewish people on board. And we would be singing our offering hymn round about that time. And he says, to drown out the cries of those Jewish people, we, as professing Christians, sang all the louder. We sang as loud as we could to drown out from our minds the screams of souls that we're going out into eternity. We sang all the louder rather than do something about it. He says, whenever the war came to an end, he says, none of us ever spoke about what happened in that railway track. We never spoke of it. But he says, I tell you, I've been haunted ever since about what we did. And you know, we can sing as loud as we like in our churches. We can make as much noise within our churches. We can pretend that we're worshiping God within our churches. And all the while outside of our churches, there are souls that are lost, and our Savior's heart beats and throbs with compassion, and he says to us, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest fields, but tonight we are scared to pray, lest the Lord should put his finger in our lives and say, well, why don't you go and reach these lost people? The seeking shepherd cares even about the ones and the twos. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, he tells that parable. It's recorded again in Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep. About a shepherd had 100 sheep, and one night he went to count the sheep. 98, 99, and one was missing. And so concerned was he for that one lost sheep. It's out there somewhere. It's in danger. It's lost. It could be devoured. He left the 99 safely in that little sheepfold, and the shepherd himself went and searched until he found that sheep and lifted that sheep and carried it on his shoulders and brought it back to the sheepfold. And you know, tonight I'm glad that my Savior cares about the ones and the twos. He cares about you. You might be the only person in this meeting tonight that's not yet saved. And yet God cares about you. If I had been the only sinner in this world, I still believe that the Son of God would have to have left heaven to die for me to get me into heaven. That's how much he cares about lost souls. Maybe tonight you're that one that has gone astray. Maybe tonight you're a backslider. Maybe as a little boy or as a little girl, there was a time whenever you trusted the Lord, but somehow something has got into your heart, into your life, and it's caused you to go astray, and maybe tonight the Lord is looking down and the Lord is calling you. His compassion. His identification. I want you to notice as well his mission. Verse number 16. I will seek that which was lost. That's what God is saying about these lost Israelite people who are in bondage in Babylon. If nobody else is going to go, I'll go. I myself will go and seek after that which is lost. In fact, many times in the portion you read those words, I will, I will, I will seek that which is lost. You see, this is God's work. And it reminds us of grace. These people didn't deserve the Lord to come and seek after them. They were sinners. They'd rebelled against God. They'd rejected all the prophets that God had sent. They'd rejected God's word. They'd rejected God's offers of mercy. And yet still, the Lord says, I'm still going to go after them and I'm still going to seek them out. You see, Jesus Christ came to this world to do something. He came to be a wonderful teacher. He came to be a wonderful example. He came to perform miracles. He came to show mercy, but he came to do much more than that. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is something that to him was of utmost importance. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What was it? To find lost men and women who are without mercy, without hope, that are lost. And I'm going to seek them. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to pay the price for their sins. And I'm going to call them unto myself. He came to seek, to look for lost souls and to save them. This is of utmost importance. And friend, tonight you need to be saved. You need to be saved. There's no other way of looking at the Word of God than it tells us that man and woman must be saved. Not just saved from hell, but saved from a life without God. Saved from the power of sin. Saved from its pollution, saved, yes, from its penalty. And you'll notice here the places that Christ goes to find these sheep. Look at verse number 12. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them from all places where they have been scattered in the dark and cloudy day. Now the Jews here are in Babylon. And the Jewish people tonight are scattered throughout the whole world. And the Lord says he's going to bring them, and he's going to bring them back to the land. But whenever we think of sinners in general, the Word of God says that the seeking shepherd will find his sheep out of every kindred, out of every tribe, out of every tongue, and out of every nation. He will gather them literally from the four winds. He will gather them together from all places. Jesus said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Maybe tonight you think you're in an exalted position because of the denomination that you belong to. And you think somehow that you're exclusive and you're in the elite. Not a bit of it. Jesus says, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, outside Northern Ireland. God is working and God is moving. And souls are coming to Christ, and he's gathering in his sheep. He's saving precious never dying souls. He's bringing his lost sheep from all sorts of places. You know, tonight, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter where you are. But my Savior can find you. Some of you tonight are parents and you've got wayward children and you think, you know, I despair because they're not in God's house. They don't come anymore. They don't go to church anymore. They're too old to go to Sunday school. They don't want to come to gospel missions. They're not in a good place tonight. They're maybe drinking and they're dabbling in drugs and they're entering into relationships and they just seem to have no concern at all about my Savior and about my salvation. We know the Lord says, I'm going to go into all places and I'm going to find them. And that fills me with confidence and encouragement tonight. Adam thought that he'd got away from God and he was hiding behind a tree in the Garden of Eden. And he tried to cover himself and the Lord came and says, where are you? Where art thou? Now Adam, be honest, answer the question. I'm coming, I'm going to find you, but I want you to confess your need. Where are you? And I wonder tonight where you are in that spiritual sense. You can be in the church but still lost like Nicodemus was. And Nicodemus thought that he was seeking after the Lord, but the Lord was just drawing Nicodemus to himself. I heard about a little girl that walked in off the street. There was a church, there was a meeting on. She went in, they were showing some sort of old, one of those old lantern things, presentation. And during the meeting at the back, there was a bit of a ruckus because a mother came in. She'd lost her little daughter and she began crying out. She says, is Mary Jane in here? And of course, little Mary Jane was up at the front and she was just watching this presentation in the church. This woman was standing back screaming, I've lost my daughter. Do you know where she is? Is she in here? And nobody spoke up, so the mother went. And at the end of the thing, the lights were turned on. And little Mary Jane got up. Somebody asked her name. She says, Mary Jane. She says, there was a woman in earlier. She'd lost her daughter. Is that you? And she described the woman. She says, yes, that's me. But I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am. And she was in the church, but she didn't realize that she'd wandered far from her family and far from her fold. And you can be the same tonight. You can be in the church
and not even really know that you're lost. And the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He goes into the church to find the lost. He also goes into the far country, searches for the prodigal. He goes and finds those that are in the depths of sin, like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, whose life was wrecked and ruined and wasted, broken relationships. He goes and he finds those who are in the depths of despair, like the woman with the issue of blood, had it for years and nobody could heal her, nobody cared about her anymore. They thought that she was incurable, and the Lord found her. He even finds Zacchaeus, who was sitting up on a tree. What a strange place to be whenever the Lord passes by. And you might be in the most unusual of places, but I want to tell you tonight that my Savior can come and can find you and can deliver you out of all places. That's what the text says. And you might have a son or a daughter or a loved one, and they're in a strange place tonight. The Lord can meet them. The Lord can deliver them. I was speaking to somebody during the week. They were from the city of Liverpool in England. I didn't know that this fellow was a Christian. I just began to talk to him. I asked, where are you from? He says, I'm from Liverpool. And started talking about a little church that I knew over there. And tried to witness to him. Turned out he's a Christian. He says, I was converted 13 years ago. Powerfully. On the steps of a certain building in Liverpool, in the city centre, I was on drink. I was addicted to drugs. I was sitting there and somebody came and witnessed to me. And I got converted sitting in those steps. And then I went to a Bible college in London. I got married to a girl from this country and here I am today. And he was converted. Strangest of places. The places Christ goes to find his lost sheep. Notice the circumstances that he finds them in. Verse number 12, he says, where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Maybe tonight you find yourself in a dark situation. Life has its clouds, its darkness. Days of darkness come over you. Days of gloominess. Days of hopelessness. Days of despair. This is how the Jewish people felt down there in Babylon in chapter 37 and verse number 11. They say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. There's no hope. There's no hope that God can reach us. There's no hope that God can restore us. There's no hope that God can bring us back into the land. And there are people tonight in this world in which we are living, even in this very town, and that's how they feel. There's no hope for me. I'm an alcoholic. That's just how it's going to be. I'm addicted to drugs. That's just how it's going to be. I'm addicted to pornography. That's just how it's going to be. I cannot break free. My hope is gone. My marriage is broken down. My home is broken down. Everything is gone. It's a dark day. It's a cloudy day. There's no light. There's no hope. It's just the winter time of life, and I'm just going to sit here until I die. God said through the prophet Hosea, O Israel, thou hast destroyed myself, but in me is thy help. Ernest Hemingway was a famous author from America. Wrote some novels and some prize-winning books, The Old Man and the Sea, The Snows of Kilimanjaro, and so on and so forth. 1954, he won the Nobel Prize. He was held in high esteem. One occasion, before his suicide in 1961, Ernest Hemingway said, I live in a vacuum that is as lonely as a radio where the batteries are dead and there's no current to plug into. He says, that's how my life feels. I just feel like a radio. I know that I'm being created for some purpose, but I just feel that there's no power in my life. I feel empty. I feel fruitless. And as a relatively young man, he took his own life. Felt that all hope was gone. It was a dark and a cloudy day. Maybe tonight you feel hopeless. All is dark, gloomy. You're filled with depression. You're filled with despair. I've got to know a man in our town, old man from Scotland. Lovely man. But speaking to him once in his home, and he talked about how his wife had passed away, and he said, you know, she was born again like you. She was saved. I says, well, what about you? He says, no, I'm not saved. But I do go to church, and he mentioned the name of the place he went, and I would be 100% sure that in that church he would faithfully hear the gospel every week. And you know, you talk to him, he just started to cry. Seen him again not all that long ago. Spoke to him again about the gospel. And as I was explaining the gospel, he just started to cry and says, "I just can't." He says, "I watched my wife die. 3 months she wasn't well." And he says, I just can't trust the Savior. Even though she was a Christian, even though he knows that she's in heaven, somehow he feels that he just can't trust the Savior. And yet if he would only come, taste and see that the Lord is so good. And I want to tell you tonight, friend, that God can give you a new life. I want you to notice lastly the condition that these sheep were in whenever the Lord finds them. Look at verse number 16 of our chapter. "I will seek that which was lost and bring that again which was driven away." Maybe, "Father, Mother, this is a promise for you. And I will bind up that which was broken. And I will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy that which was fat and strong and feed them with judgment." The condition that the flock are in, we've noticed the places that he finds them in, all places, the circumstances, the dark and cloudy day, but their condition. He's going to find those that are driven away. Those that think they don't matter. Those who perhaps have been put out of their homes and out of their families and maybe out of society and are frowned upon as being worthless, as being useless, as just being troublemakers, as being a burden to society. Those that are driven out, the Lord says, those are the people that I'm interested in. And maybe sin has driven you away from God. Driven you away from hope, driven you away from church, driven you away from family, even driven you away from any sort of desire to live. But like the prodigal who was driven away, the Lord calls you to come back. He says as well, "I will bind up that which was broken." Lives that are broken by sin. And our society, friends, is full of it. Lives destroyed by immorality, by alcoholism, by drugs, separation, marital problems, like the man of the Gadarenes. Nobody could tame him, nobody could bind him, nobody could set him free. And they just threw him out of their town and he went and lived in the tombs and he cut himself with stones. He didn't even have the decency to put clothes on him. His nails were long, his hair was long, he was vile, he was dirty, he was possessed with devils. But the Lord crossed the Sea of Galilee and met that man just where he was, and the Lord healed his broken heart. The Lord fixed his broken home. The Lord restored his broken hopes. And the Lord fixed his broken health. He also says, "I will strengthen that which was sick." Those that are sick in sin, and those that are sick of their sin. Back in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, "Ah, sinful people, nation laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord God. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. It is desolate, overthrown by strangers." That is just a picture of the sinner in the sight of the Lord. Lost, driven out, cast away in their sin and sick. And yet the Lord says to them, "Why should you be stricken anymore?" There's a good question. It's like the Lord saying, "Well, why would you live without me any longer? You've just seen that it doesn't work. Your life's going nowhere without me. Now, why would you be stricken anymore whenever I stand as a shepherd that can save you and can restore you and can bring you back to me? Why should you be stricken anymore?" You see, that's the shepherd's call. The Savior said, "My sheep hear my voice. And I know them." That word "know," it means I'm acquainted with them. I identify with them. I love them. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And whenever they hear my voice, they follow me. And whenever they follow me and they come to me, what do? He says, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. I have a shepherd tonight, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love abide. And he called me. And true to his promise, he saved me, and he kept me, and he leads me, and he satisfies me. And I wouldn't exchange my salvation for every diamond in the world. I wouldn't exchange it for anything, because he satisfies this longing soul. He fills my soul with good things. And he can do the same for you. And maybe tonight, for the first time in your life, you're conscious the shepherd is seeking me. What do? Well, you just respond. You just, in your heart of hearts, you say, I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in the precious blood that flowed in Calvary. Lord, I'm coming. I have nothing to give you apart from my sin. But Lord, if you'll take my sin and forgive me, I'll give you my life. I want you to be my Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And by faith, I turn from sin and I trust in you. And I want to be part of your flock. And I want you to be my good shepherd. We're going to sing our closing hymn just now. It's number 227.